Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Cody Thompson. How you doing, Cody?
As always, here and great.
Just the two of us today on mic.
That's right.
We do have our producer, Tracy, in-house, and our engineer, Matt. And what's our topic today, Tracy? I mean, Cody, right here in front of Tracy.
Right in your face. Sometimes democracy sucks.
That's right. That's right. I hope that's interesting.
Take that, Tracy.
That's right. You know, Winston Churchill once said, democracy was the worst form of government, except for all the others. And I think he was right. And democracy is a very messy way to run a country. But there's not a better way that I can think of. Mm-hmm. And of course, when we talk about a democracy and running a company, we're not talking about a pure democracy. We're talking about, was it Plato? It wasn't Aristotle. I think it was Plato who talked about, you know, in the book, The Republic, where they talked about a republic, the democratic republic.
Right.
Representation.
So I've heard you say this because you made a little bit of a jump there, but democracy is a great way to run a country and a bad way to run a company. And that's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
That's the sometimes
thing. So it's a messy way to run a country, but that's the best we know. But it is really a bad way to run a company. And yet many leaders, small or large companies, running a department, have this feeling, especially if they grew up in a democracy, which I'm big on democracy, that, oh, I should be democratic in the way I run this organization.
Right.
And that's a real problem. Not only is it abdicating responsibility for leading, it leads to really bad results.
Well, and this is totally related to everything that we've talked about on this podcast as it relates to making strategic decisions and inviting people's opinion and building trust and having good conflict. And all of those things don't happen in the context of a democracy. You've even made the case here that it's more like a monarchy in some sense,
right,
at a company.
That's right. Because see, in a democracy, everybody votes and everybody's opinion is supposed to be equally valuable. But that's not true in running a company. And I've found this to be true, Cody, especially like when I work with executive teams and the CEO says, well, we got to come up with our company values. Mm-hmm. So let's poll all the employees and ask them what they should be.
Let's democratize them. You know?
Right.
Yeah, right.
And what I say is, do all of their opinions equally matter? What about your bad employees? You have employees here you probably would not like to be here, or they're poor performers. So their vote is going to count just as much as everybody else.
Right.
And of course, it's like, of course not. So the job of somebody, of a CEO, and more importantly, the people that work for the CEO, is to represent their departments, but not represent them like in terms of all of their opinions. Their job is to look at the people in their departments and say, which of these people do I think has the best idea of what we should do? And I should listen to them.
Right. Well, and there's a certain amount of intuition and discernment that goes into that. I mean, hopefully in the meritocracy that most companies are in, that the people with the better opinions and the more earnest work ethic get promoted to those levels of decision-making. But it's interesting because not too long ago, we did a whole podcast on the law of thirds, right?
Right.
And even in that context, I think the important message here is that a lot of people, because we're told we live in a democratic nation, that we sort of bring some of that ideology into the company to say, everybody's vote matters. And like you said, why would you ever poll your poor performers to ask about company culture and values?
And there's words like inclusion that people misunderstand to think that everybody has to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is most employees in an organization are like, no, you're my boss. You're running the division. I'd love it if you asked my input, but I'm trusting that you're going to have the wisdom to make the right decision.
Totally. And to be fair, there are other circumstances, like whenever my father-in-law talks about his longstanding job at a plant out here in California, collectively, they had a lot of opinions at lower levels in the organization that never got shared, and it caused a lot of friction. That should be something that's totally paid attention to.
Exactly. You know? And that's why it's so important when you hire somebody to run a division of your company or a department, they better have a really good judgment and really open to listening to the people in their organization and listening to the right ones.
Right.
So this is by no means an excuse for people to ignore the employees in their organization. It's just not a matter of polling them and then trying to reflect the majority opinion.
Right.
Or the collective wisdom of the team.
And I think we run into this a lot in the work that we do because that's not very popular, right? It's not popular to say, hey, I actually value the opinion of these constituents that actually are contributing to the success of the company versus the poor performers. It's not a popular opinion. We've even had it to where, you know, we've presented the idea around like conflict and conflict norms, and people resist that. They right. say like, oh, we should all have, we should think of a different way to say this, or we should package this in a different way that's not disruptive to people. In a democratic nation, everyone's vote should matter equally. In a company, that's a great way to be mediocre.
Absolutely. To take too long to make decisions and then spread out or peanut butter the wisdom so that you're tapping into everyone equally. I mean, like we're sitting here with Matt, my 22-year-old son, an engineer. And now granted, the one great thing about this company is we listen to everybody. And him and Liam will come up with great ideas. But to think that he's been here for 6 weeks, you've been here for 6 years, you're older, you've experienced more in life, to think that I'm not going to weight your opinions a little bit more is ridiculous.
Well, the reverse is actually true too, that because we have trust, because we built trust at this company and we have conflict, it becomes the pursuit of the best idea. Now, we don't care. In fact, if the janitor walked into our meeting and had a better idea,
I love it.
We would take that.
Right.
And it's not about siding with the person that has the most seniority.
Because of their seniority.
Right. It's right. We're pursuing the best idea. And so there, it does take that level of trust to actually engage in that type of conversation and let the good idea bubble to the surface.
Well, and the funny thing is though, and Matt and Liam would never say, hey, we think you always have to listen to us the same you listen to people who have more experience. Totally. That isn't to say that sometimes their ideas aren't great, but again, our job is to know who to listen to in what situation and try to pursue the best answer. Now, you mentioned the word monarchy before. I think this is great because people would be surprised to think, what do you mean our companies are run like a monarchy? Yeah, our companies, most of them, and it depends if you're public and you have a board and how that works, but most companies are not public. It's really, you have a king or a queen who runs the organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the school principal, there's the pastor, there's the CEO. And the queen or the king is in charge. Now, even in a monarchy, the king or queen can listen to their cabinet or to their direct reports. They can run their kingdom as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we believe that's a good idea. But at the end of the day, that monarch needs to make a call.
The buck stops with them.
Exactly.
I've heard you say, that's why leaders get paid the medium-sized bucks, right?
Exactly.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you make good or bad decisions, if you're the king or queen of your team or that organization and things don't go well, it's your feet that are held to the fire.
Right.
And so you better make sure that while you're discerning through people's opinions, that you're asking input from the right people and not weighting it all equally.
Right. Now, people might think about democracy, like in the United States, that when we started, we had rejected the idea of having a king or a queen, because sometimes you're beholden to whether that's a good person or not.
Right.
And so we chose a democracy and that you elect people and they turn over from time to time. But the reason why that's so important with a country is because, and this is what we have to keep in mind, is people can't really leave a kingdom easily.
Right. Right.
See, if you work in a company and you don't like what the queen or the king is doing, you can choose to go to a different kingdom.
Right.
And if that were not the case, then this all changes.
Totally.
And that's why democracy is so important, because I live here, I have to deal with this, I need to have a voice. Well, in a company, the best voice you have is whether you want to continue working there,
mm-hmm.
which is why right-to-work states where employees can leave or they can be asked to leave, it's kind of a neat thing because people vote with their feet.
Right.
Whenever you have people that can't leave or won't leave, sometimes it's 10 years, sometimes it's whatever other reason, then the problem is bad leadership gets too long tolerated because nobody's leaving.
Yeah. As you think about this in the context of like the people who listen to this podcast, you know,
yep.
team leaders, company leaders, there is this sort of, like we mentioned it, that bleeds over this concept of like everyone should have an opinion. And we argue that everyone should weigh in, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that everyone weighs in. They weigh in so they can buy in, right?
Not so they can have their way.
Not have their way. And that's a super important thing. I think too often it goes, there's another sort of tangential topic around this that is consensus, or that we have to try to drive towards everyone feeling. That's you say that consensus is a great way for everyone to be equally disappointed, right?
Right.
And that's essentially what happens if you run your business or your company or your team that way.
And when you set up a country like that, there's oppositional forces and people get together to represent their states or whatever else. But in a company, you want to move quicker. Now, a great way to make laws pass a lot faster in the United States or in a democratic country is to turn it into a monarchy or, yeah. or a dictatorship. And, but you, what you do is there's the checks and balances go away.
Mm-hmm.
But in a company, a board of directors or the people who work there put a lot of control into the hands of the leader. And that's actually the most effective way to run a company. Again, though, it's not a tragedy when a company goes out of business because people go work someplace else. But when a nation gets toppled, that's the stakes are a lot higher.
Right. I'm glad that you're handling the majority of the U.S. government and history side of this. If my U.S. government teacher from seventh grade was listening, he'd be like, Cody, you got a B minus in this class. I don't know if you're... You're an expert on the opinion. Well, so thank you.
Based on when I see all the people do the on the street interviews, it is amazing what people don't know.
Right.
We have a representative democracy. It's not a pluralistic democracy where everybody gets to vote, or, mm-hmm. but we're not a monarchy or a dictatorship either. And I hope people appreciate the fact that we are living in a representative democracy, which actually leads me to another topic because we're in an election year. And of course, we don't weigh in on politics, but because we talk about organizational culture, and I love to point out countercultural things. Like one of my favorite business books of all time is Moneyball.
Oh, yeah.
By Michael Lewis. It's about baseball. I'm not really a big baseball fan, but Moneyball is fascinating because he challenges accepted opinion.
Right.
And when I think about leadership and I think about companies and countries, there's people always say, go out and vote. Now, I think voting is great. But if somebody came up to me, and I've had many people that come up to me and say, I don't follow government or politics. I don't really know what's going on. I couldn't tell you who the second president of the United States is. And I've met people my age that couldn't.
Right.
And like, I really don't care. I actually think it's best if they don't vote.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody has the right to vote and they should exercise that right if they can do it in an informed way.
Well, and that was the whole point to begin with is you... It matters. So you should be informed. Like
exactly.
If you're
going to
take a posture where you lean back and aren't informed and don't know the issues and don't know the ramifications of your vote, then please don't.
Right.
But the idea would be that you recognize the importance of that and actually lean in.
Right. Imagine it was like, you know, the Academy Awards are voted on
right.
by people who are in the Motion Picture Association of America. And there's lots of them and they mail them all the movies. Imagine somebody saying you should vote and they go, I didn't watch any of the movies. It's like, no, you should not vote.
Right.
Well, I heard from somebody that this movie was the best one. No. If you didn't watch it, if you have no opinion on your own, you probably would be more responsible if you didn't vote.
Well, actually, based on some of the nominees, I would imagine that some of those movies go unwatched.
I know.
They're not that good.
That's how some of them get picked.
Right.
You know, and here's another counterintuitive thing. And that is that people say, hey, the two subjects you should never bring up with anybody is religion and politics. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand if you're talking about a stranger or somebody you don't have a relationship with, but if you actually have trust, a trusting relationship, and this is what we teach our executive teams, how would you not talk about those things? I'm not talking about on your executive team. I'm talking about your sister, your aunt, your next door neighbor, or people you work with.
Right.
Because if you trust them and care about them and you have strong opinions and you really care and you care about what you believe and about your nation, then you have to share that opinion.
You're compelled to. I mean, how could you not?
And what kind of society says don't talk about the most important things with people you care about? So what I would say is this, if you're informed and if you're not, get informed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are informed, definitely vote. But if you're not interested in any of this and don't know, I think not voting might be responsible. And if you have strong opinions about something and you care about other people around you, don't be afraid to share those opinions.
Yeah.
Because it's just too important.
You know, it's interesting how much this coincides with all the conversations that we've had on this podcast around like entering the danger.
Right. Yeah, we talk, all these dynamics play out in any kind of community as long as it's predicated on trust.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you trust somebody and you're vulnerable and you're willing to go, Cody, that was a great point. And we were talking about something the other day that came up in the news and you said, well, this is what I think. And somebody said, oh no. In fact, it was Tracy and she gave you like three facts and you go, I was wrong.
Yeah.
See, when you have a relationship with people that can go, wow, that's really good to know. We have an obligation as moral human beings to share those facts and opinions.
Yep.
And nobody's offended if there is trust.
And like we said at the beginning, if there's trust and you have differing ideas, then it's the pursuit of truth. You know, yep. we're looking for the best possible answer of the pursuit of truth.
Conflict around issues is good. You know what happens when people stop having conflict around issues? They start to have conflict around each other as people.
Mm-hmm.
And look at our society today. Do we really have too much conflict around issues or is it just attacking one another?
Right.
I think there should be a lot more discussion and healthy tension around issues, people listening and learning from one another to avoid us attacking people without any concern for what they might think. So that's our podcast for today. Democracy sometimes sucks. And running a company, it certainly does. But running a nation, it's a messy and good thing to preserve. Mm-hmm. So thanks for joining us today. And we'll see you next time on At the Table. God bless.